Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Jim Boyd is your speaker. I read from Galatians chapter 4. Paul wrote, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if ye had been possible, ye have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now the apostle wrote this epistle, and it was written, of course, guided by the Holy Spirit, to the churches in Galatia. One of the primary purposes was to root out false doctrines that Judaizers' teachers were teaching to lead brethren back to Judaism. They taught that men could be justified by the law of Moses and that the Jewish ordinances were binding upon Gentiles. They either did not understand, or maybe they just would not accept the fact that the old law had been taken out of the way and fulfilled by the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul describes the Galatian brethren as being removed from the truth to a perverted gospel, Galatians 1. They were, he said, bewitched. Now, even though they had once commended Paul and had done most anything for him, Paul was now afraid he had bestowed labor upon them in vain. Were they turning against Paul and the message of truth he has preached to them? Were they going to be offended because he now warns them of the encroachments of apostasy? In short, he just simply asked, "Am I become therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, there are several things that Paul's questions suggest. And the first I want to mention is that there are times when even God's children need to be rebuked as well as those who live in the sinful world. Do we not read about Simon in Acts chapter 8 and those who, at the time when the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter in Galatians chapter 2? We read where John spoke sharply regarding a man named Diotrephes in 1 John 3. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear," 1 Timothy 5, and he was writing to members of the church. Now, there can be no doubt that Christians in error need to be rebuked as much as anybody else. And the favor to rebuke sin and the failure to rebuke false doctrine that arises in the church is to invite and to allow apostasy. Now, Paul's question also suggests, secondly, the possibility that preaching the truth even to brethren may make enemies. We expect they'll make enemies of those who are enemies of God, but sometimes it makes enemies of those who are former friends. Moses stood before Pharaoh and he warned of the plagues that were going to befall Egypt. Of course, that made him an enemy. Pharaoh's response was one of intense anger and threatening Moses and the Israelites. Elijah condemned the sins of Jezebel and Ahab, and his reward was that he was pursued so hard that he had to flee for his very life. Did not John the Baptist lose his head because he made enemies of Herod and Herodias, telling them that their marriage was adulterous by telling them the truth? Ahab once said about the prophet Micaiah, "I hate him, because he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Isaiah 30 reveals to us the attitude that many in Israel had when he rebuked, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." No, we're not surprised that sometimes there be those who consider us enemies when, though motivated by love, we expose the error they preach and that they practice. John wrote, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you," the words of Christ, 1 John 3. Jesus had once said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you," John 15, verse 18. And again he said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But then again, this question of the Apostle Paul, there are those who just simply want to oppose the truth. Now, just why anyone would want to oppose God's truth is hard to explain. Some do so, however, out of ignorance. Peter told the Jews, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers," speaking of the crucifixion of Christ. Paul explained that he once did things contrary to Christ, but he did it out of ignorance, 1 Timothy 1:3. The Gentiles were alienated, Paul said, through ignorance, Ephesians chapter 4. And we are not to suppose that ignorance justifies wrongdoing. It doesn't excuse wrongdoing, but it does sometimes explain wrongdoing. And there's a difference between explaining why a thing takes place and giving justification or excuse for it. But now Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and 30, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." But there be some who oppose the truth, and they do so knowingly. They do so with malicious intent. They just simply don't want the truth. They simply do not love the truth. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Jesus once explained in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Yes, there are some sometimes who are willfully ignorant. There are some sometimes who simply want their own way. And because they want their own way, or they want the way of their denomination, or they want the way of their ancestors, they simply do not want the truth of God. And to explain that truth to them, why, they may become offended at you and consider you their enemy. But Paul's question, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" is a question that shows that truth must be preached, even if it does make enemies for the messenger. To fail to preach the truth because of the fear of making enemies would be to offend God. It would be guilty of a hideous compromise. It's disloyal to the truth. Now, there were many who quit following Christ because of his hard sayings that he taught in John chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 15, we learn that the Lord's attitude toward those who would be your enemies was that they would simply be opposed to God and opposed to the truth, and it would be to their own condemnation. On that occasion, Jesus had spoken words of rebuke to some of his hearers, and they were not content to accept what he had to say because it disturbed some of his followers. And Jesus was reminded that the Pharisees were offended at the things that he said. Well, did Jesus run after them and apologize? No, he did not. Did he indicate that he had been too hard? No, he did not. Did he wish that he had recalled the time it had done differently? Indeed not. What did he say? He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father planteth not shall be rooted up." My dear friend, there simply was not any suggestion on the part of Christ that though there be some who become enemies, the truth must be preached nonetheless. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul outlines the steps toward apostasy. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Sound doctrine was no longer what they wanted. Sound doctrine would not be tolerated by them. And then came the securing of teachers that would teach and preach whatever the hearers wanted, with little to no regard as to what was needed. They would turn away from the truth and follow the errors of fables and false doctrines. Their teachers would scratch their itching ears with pleasing words to please them rather than to give them sound words that would save their soul. Now, you know, sometimes there are those who contend we should just preach the Bible and leave other people alone. Well, that sounds so pleasing that some have acted stupidly and even given such a contention some sort of credibility. But let's put that kind of advice to the test. Try to preach in the beginning God. You can't do that. You'll make enemies of the atheist, the evolutionist, the humanist. Teach that thou should have no other gods before me, and you will offend every idolater on earth. Preach that without faith it's impossible to please him, and you'll offend every person who is simply a moralist, who thinks just being good is sufficient to be saved. And you preach repentance and baptism for the remission of sins like the Apostle Peter did, you'll offend every denominational clergyman that's round about you. You preach that God created, why, that just agitates the evolutionist. You preach giving is prospered. As prospered, and to forsake not the assembly, why, you'll offend even some brethren. To contend that Jesus, the Son of God, will arouse the skeptic, he'll be angered about it. If you say that man is more than just a material being, that he is an immortal soul, you'll lose the friendship of the materialist. Can you imagine how offended are the Buddhists and the Jews and the Mohammedans and others when you say Jesus had taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. On and on we could go. There is no point of truth, friend, from God's book that presently comes to mind that we would not have to shelve if we followed that ill-conceived idea to simply preach the Bible and leave others alone. You're going to offend those who don't want the truth when you preach the truth. But we must have the attitude that Paul preached. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, we all have the serious duty of preaching the gospel to others. One is the duty of the preacher to teach the truth. He ought not in any time be deliberately offensive, abusive, or unkind. But he must be firm. He must send forth certain sound. He must realize that he shall receive a heavier judgment. He must say with the Apostle Paul, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He must preach it, and he must preach it just as it is revealed. Friend, there's a duty of the hearer also to take heed how you hear. Now, we're expected to search the scriptures to see whether or not what we hear is the truth. Enemy is best put to refraining from anger and seek out error and seek truth, but should be spent in study and prayer with the determination we're going to learn and we're going to obey what the Lord teaches, and we're not going to look with offense upon those who tell us the truth. Now, some in Galatia were making a serious blunder. Some had already made the serious blunder by falling away. Some teach you can't do that, but Galatians shows that some had already done that. That's one of the false doctrines we must tell people. This doctrine of once saved, always saved. It's as false as a $3 bill. And friend, we do not make enemies we trust when we teach you that, because the Bible teaches you can. So let us give heed to the teaching of the Bible. Learn to love the truth, appreciate those who teach us the truth, and that will lead us to the joys of heaven. Well, we're glad that you listened today. This has been A Burning Fire. Remember, next time.